I'm Allie. I came out after 20 years of marriage and I have 3 kids.
I'm Melissa and I have 2 kids and I came out at 37 after an 11-year marriage.
This podcast is about coming out later and the struggles and victories that come with it.
When coming out feels like the end of the world, but it's really just the beginning.
This is the Lesbian Chronicles.
Welcome to the Lesbian Chronicles.
I mean, 2 weeks in a row, you're taking it. I like it.
That one was a little hesitant because you were still doing stuff. But
well, the audience liked it.
I'm taking the reins.
The audience liked it.
We have a big crowd here tonight.
Yes, we do. All right.
I wonder if our listeners are tired of it.
I still think that my audio is not that great.
No, yours
to be
sounds
honest.
Fine.
It does?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You're good.
All right. So how are we doing today?
I'm okay. I'm still moving. I still don't have internet at my house. Let's
how do
update
you not
on my
internet. Yeah.
Because AT&T sucks.
Okay. That's what Maria says every day of our life.
They suck so much. They've been my cell phone provider for, I don't know, the better part of 10 to 12 years.
Okay.
Maybe longer. And I just left their service.
Yeah. Maria's like, I'm done.
I switched to Verizon. I now have an actual signal at my house. I can work off my hotspot. But they still have not installed the internet at my actual home. And I'm hoping to get this like little Verizon cellular hotspot thing to work, or not hotspot, Wi-Fi.
Okay.
To where I don't have to use AT&T at all.
Yeah. She's like convinced that her calls are all getting dropped. She's like, it sucks.
Yeah.
I hate to
I mean,
their
customer
though.
Service more than anything. It's like, they don't care. I'm literally like, I have to have the internet like
to work. Yeah.
And they,
Like, go to a coffee shop.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. There's no like places open right now.
Yeah.
I used Target's Wi-Fi the other day. I went in to use their Starbucks.
Yeah.
There's no seating in there right now. I guess still residual from the pandemic. So I found a seat in the like home goods area of Target.
Oh my God.
And I was in there for, I don't know, an hour and a half.
There's no call. Like you can't, what about a coffee shop? What about like a Starbucks?
The Starbucks in Peachtree City, the one by my house no longer has seating. They don't have the staffing, I think, to have the inside open.
I've
same
never
with Panera.
Heard of this.
Yeah. It's insane.
That is insane.
So my life is been difficult.
Yeah,
lately.
You can always drive down to the old Decatur.
I know, all these people keep offering up their houses, but I'm like, do you really want me to sit in your home for 8 hours while I work at CNN?
Or you could work here. Here you could even get in a booth that's like soundproof.
But I still have to drive up here and then I have to drive back and get my kids.
Is there, well, that's a next conversation for another day.
Yes. So anyway, hopefully it's being resolved soon.
Right, it will be.
And I can finally stop focusing on that and unpack the things in my house.
Oh my God. So. I've been there, but I do the 3-day drill sergeant, like yell at everybody and it gets done.
I know. Well, and I didn't allot enough time. I should have taken off work, but seeing as I took off all this time for world travel.
Yeah.
I don't have time to take
hiking.
Off.
Hiking for
unpack.
10 hours.
Yeah.
Ugh. So what are we talking about today?
We're going to talk about how close do you let your significant other get to your kids.
Right. And how soon.
Yeah. From my own personal experience, I have felt that it wasn't that big of a deal to introduce people to my kids because my kids meet a lot of people that I know, right?
Yeah.
They've met you.
Yep.
They met Allie when she was, or Alyssa, when she was on with us. They've met Stacy and Milena. You know, like a good number of my friends they've met. So in my eyes, I'm kind of like, okay, well, how do they distinguish if we're actually in a relationship or not? If they don't see me being like truly affectionate with this person.
Right.
And because I kind of kept that like on the down low.
Yeah.
But even so, they've gotten close to the people that I've dated. And then those people are no longer
in
their lives.
What I remember when I was in therapy, the therapist saying that, like, I was asking her, like, how do I do this? And she was kind of like, the truth is you did right in that you're not supposed to, like, it's hard for kids almost more when you build it up. Now you've been dating someone a year, you introduce them and they're like, whoa, like, it's almost like forced. You better like this person.
Exactly. And I wanted the person that I'm possibly thinking about being long-term with, I want them to see what my kids are like. I want them to see what I'm like around my kids. I think it's just part of like getting to know you.
Yeah, I agree. But maybe what I probably And I don't think you did this. I'm just saying in general, like what I don't like is when people start dating people and immediately it's like pushed on their kids that like, you're going to be with us all the time. When I have my kids, it's now we're this new family and I've been dating you 3 weeks.
I 100% agree with that.
It's like, sometimes I'll see people post stuff and I'm like, you just met that woman.
Right.
And so I think, there's like a window of time. It's not going to be the same for everybody, but I don't think there's anything wrong with meeting your friends, quote unquote, and then as that relationship develops, you know, 6 months, a year, letting it be more than that.
Yeah.
You know?
And but that's also like another fine line.
Like, yeah, it is.
How much do you trust this person to get engrossed in your life and in your kids' lives to where your kids are used to seeing that person?
Yeah.
And so when they stop coming around, they're asking questions.
Right, right.
And, you know, why? When are we going to see so-and-so again? You know? That's a question I've gotten a lot over the past almost year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things where I've been kind of like, I've left the door open because I'm just like, I don't know what's happening.
Right.
You know, I don't know when you might see them again. And now it looks like they're not going to see that person again.
And you don't want to set up a thing where you don't do this, but where it's also like people are so disposable. Like, I never want my kids to feel like relationships are so disposable. I was worried about my divorce because of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that, when kids have a revolving door of, oh, I get close to this person, I lost them. I get close, lost them. It's like, I don't think that's healthy either.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's like, how do you do that?
And I don't know the answers, but I do think you introduce as friends, but you don't take it to that next level. You know, you keep it very cordial and maybe don't have them with you all the time. Like at the beginning of my relationship, she might be around the kids when I had them. If I had them two nights of the weekend, one of the nights.
Yeah.
And then the other nights would be when I don't have the kids. Like I would be kind of particular for a while until I felt like, okay, she's moving in.
I'm just kidding. But like, I've had people that I've dated be like, I will never not be in your kids' lives. I love your kids. They're great. Blah, blah, blah. And then now crickets.
Yeah.
And
I think I had to tell Melissa a hard thing before this episode because she really thought that they meant it.
That they meant it. I did think that they meant
didn't.
It. And that's heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking for you, but it's like the rest of us. It's like, I don't care who you are. Maybe 1% of people you're dating, they want you. Anybody.
Well, that's exactly what my therapist said. Like some people will say everything possible to keep you around.
I love your kid. I want to be with God. What a great family. Blah, 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 blah. The minute the relationship's over, nobody's trying to keep up with your kids. And at the same time, you're going to move on. And so it's like,
Yes. And I agree with that. Things have been easier for my current relationship to not have this other person involved in my life.
Right.
Anymore.
That's what I'm saying.
Done me a massive favor. But at the same time, Mama Bear comes out and Mama Bear's like, how dare you not love my fucking kids for eternity? Because they're amazing, hilarious, beautiful,
they are
kind-hearted
all those
children.
They're all those things.
So it's
she
like,
doesn't. Ugh, nobody
it's
would.
Such a bummer.
It's a bummer, but it's easier to know it because then you're not trying to reconnect them after the fact.
Yeah.
You know, the ship has sailed. It's
done.
Well,
it's nice to know now that I can give my kids more definitive answers.
Yeah.
Where I couldn't do that previously.
You know, she died.
She moved to the moon.
She moved.
And there's no oxygen there.
Exactly.
So good luck.
So I'm really sorry.
But it has been a learning opportunity for my kids, though. I have explained to them that there's seasons of friends. You know, some people you think are going to be around for a really long time and you have a great friendship, but then it fizzles out and there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
You know, and sometimes it's healthier for that other person to not be in your life anymore.
And I think you don't even have to, like, even just the seasons of life. I mean, I think about like my best friend when I was living in Buckhead before I got divorced. We were so close. We were stay-at-home moms. We moved to be in the same neighborhood 3 times.
Yeah, I remember
that. Build houses next door to each other. Like, I am telling you, we were very, very close. I never talked to her anymore. And my kids and my parents, after my divorce, were like, what's happening with her? Why don't you talk to her? Oh, my God, this is terrible. And I felt it, too, like, kind of ashamed that, like, oh, my God, this woman was such a big part of my day, and now she's not. She doesn't care about my kids anymore, either. Like, she was a best friend of mine, but it was a season of my life. It was that we were staying home with children together. We ran errands together. We grocery shopped together. We did everything.
Yeah.
But that was the season of life. I thought about it as I dropped my oldest off at college. Like, I saw we're posting where our kids ended up. We used to talk about these babies all the time. Where would they end up? Mm-hmm. And now it's like, we don't even, she has no idea what my kids are doing.
Was that something that happened gradually, or was there something that, like?
It was like I got divorced. I came out to her, and she, of course, was like, oh my God, love you. Doesn't matter. But then as I evolved into the lesbian I am today, that room for her, it wasn't even her leaving me. It was more just like I moved. The kids moved schools, like there wasn't room for her anymore in the same way. That hole was filled with group. It was filled with new people. It was, and our lives were different. She's like your typical sorority buckhead friend of mine.
Like you don't have as much to relate to anymore.
Like I'm now somebody completely different. Even as I watch our kids go off. Her child's going to like a big SEC school, probably will be a cheer, like try to be in that realm. Totally cool. My daughter's at NYU, like farming. And like we are two completely different humans.
Yeah.
But she was a season. And so I think that that's healthy. And I think as she moved on with her life and I moved on with mine, even my kids would be like, oh my God, I wonder what's going on with them. But it, to me, it season. Yeah. And it was such a valuable lesson. It's not that people leave you or that you're abandoned or that it's more just like, God, that was such a beautiful time in my life for her. Now there's room for some other beautiful situation.
Yeah. I think that's understandable.
Totally. Healthy even.
Healthy. And like I've read something recently that was basically saying that like friendship breakups, not so much like that one. That one sounds like it happened very gradually.
Yeah.
But where a friend abruptly stops talking to you is – like often more painful than a romantic breakup.
Yeah, I could see that. I've had that too.
All of those situations have happened gradually in my life. So I think in a way that relationship with this previous person ending kind of abruptly and that communication ending abruptly has been the first time that I've had to deal with that kind of like, quote, friendship breakup.
Yeah, right.
In my life.
Right. It is upsetting.
But yeah, like I know it happens.
Right.
For a number of reasons, but it's still hard.
It's totally hard. And I think, you know, for the kids, they don't maybe understand. And I think probably what you would say you've learned in this process is, you know, maybe, I don't know, you could have waited a little bit longer to, but I think it all, we only know what we know, right?
Hindsight is 2020.
Hindsight's 2020. Maria and I say all the time, like, we probably should have waited a little longer to move in. We had horrific strife in the early days. I blame us.
Well, and you get excited.
You're so excited.
And, like, you're excited about this new person, and you don't know what's going to happen. And, and, like, ultimately, I'm like, my kids are such a big part of my life. Like,
everything.
Come see them.
Yeah, I know. Come see them. Love them.
See how cool they
Look
are.
Look how great they are.
And then I'm like, how do you not want to see them anymore?
Yeah, right. I know. I think that, the sooner – everybody's like that, though. Like, I told you earlier, like, Maria will do a thing where she's like, hey – we're going to meet these friends for dinner. I know they want to see the kids. Tell the kids to walk down or like we'll be eating. Have the kids come.
And then the kids come down and it's like, hey.
Not only that, nobody wants to see your fucking kids. Like I hate to be the one to tell you. Like I constantly, she's like, yes, they do. They said they did. They said they did.
They said they did because it's nice.
Exactly.
That's the fucking
nobody wants our kids thing. Here. Yeah, and she's like, I don't think that's true. I'm going to ask them if they do. I'm like, they're not going to tell you.
Right.
They don't want the kids there.
You know, this reminds me of like when I had to be at work and in the office and like people would come up to me and be like, how are the kids doing?
Yeah.
Now, I think some people were like legitimate fans of my kids because they were adorable babies.
Oh my God, she still doesn't get it, guys. She still doesn't get it.
Because I promise you, I can name specific coworkers that were literally like, how's little baby David Bowie doing? Like, no, now I don't hear from them because my kids aren't as cute.
Okay, got it.
They're not babies anymore.
Got it.
I'm talking baby era.
Okay, yeah, babies are meant to.
But the funny thing is, like, people would always be like, oh, tell me about your kids, blah, blah, blah. And I would never think to ask them the same thing.
Oh, okay, interesting.
So it's never like, I was like, how are your kids?
Yeah, you're so, like, egocentric on your own.
I am. Yeah. But also, their kids were, like, teenagers in college and stuff. And it would have to be, like, a concentrated effort for me to be like, okay, they're about to leave to go to college. Like, I should ask about that, you know? it's such a topic of conversation when you have a baby.
It's true. It's true.
They want to know about the baby.
They do.
They don't want to know.
I don't even know that they want to know about the baby.
Three plus.
They want to and they don't. They want to see the baby if you bring the baby in. But I don't give a shit if you're breastfeeding or formula. I don't care if she sleeps through the night. Are you here on time? Did you return my email? Like, I just don't believe it. I don't. I think we ask to be nice. But we don't, we care when you bring a baby in my face. I'm into it because I love babies.
Right. But, okay, when your babies were infants,
yeah.
Did you not look at them like they're the most beautiful thing on the
fucking
planet?
I still look at them like they're the most beautiful things on the planet.
Can you look back at their baby pictures and look at those pictures and still think, that's the most beautiful baby on the planet?
They are still the most beautiful babies on the planet.
Okay, no. Mine, I look back.
They morphed.
Now, when they were born, I literally was like, oh my God, this beautiful infant baby is just the prettiest creature on the planet. Now I look at her baby pictures.
And you're like, and wait a minute.
I gave birth to an alien. Like, her face is scrunched up.
Like, Tatum was like shockingly cute. Like, she had huge curls. Like, now, day one.
Newborn. Okay.
She had a head of hair. Like,
I'm talking
Tatum.
Fresh out of the womb.
I wouldn't say
squishy.
Owen was like overly. He's cute now. He wasn't as cute as a baby.
Kaylin looked a little bit like E.T.
Yeah,
but I didn't see it then.
No, you thought she was so cute.
I did not see it.
That's why they were asking you. They felt sorry for you. It's almost like this reminds
me.
Maria has a few, because she does pediatrics, has like a few sweaters that are like really not cute. And they're like made for, I guess, work, like with kids. And she'll wear them, and I'm like, God, really with that? Like, why don't, that's an awful sweater. And she'll literally be like, I get so many compliments on that, the sweater. But I'm like, that's because people don't know what to say.
Oh my God.
They see it and they're like, I have to say something.
That's a total like Mean Girls moment, you know? Like, we're just like, you're really pretty. Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
So you think so too?
Exactly. Well, even like Tatum calls it shock value. She's like, people don't know what to say. So they say like, oh my God, I love your hair like that. But really, it's just because like they
just
have to
because they don't
comment.
Know what else to say. So, and they know their face just did a thing.
Yeah. Or it's just like, if the sweater's awful, if you showed up here in an awful sweater, I'm probably going to be like, oh my God, that's cute. Like, to be nice. But the truth is, I'm really looking at it thinking, I can't believe.
And now
you have
like,
a great shirt. No, you have a great shirt.
This is a child shirt. Target.
Really?
It's a little boy's. Size large.
Oh my gosh. Well, it's working.
Thanks.
Yeah. It's no, totally working.
Are you really meaning that?
I am meaning that. I tell you the truth.
That's true. You do tell me the truth.
I'm a little too brutal.
Even when it hurts.
I know. I'm so sorry. But I feel like you and Maria sometimes need a check. What I call a quick check.
Well,
reality.
I mean, it's interesting to know that you don't love my kids. My quiet little children who don't
perfect.
Make a peep.
No, the yours are perfect. They do complain about the food a lot, which I find mean, annoying. Which I find super annoying.
I mean, trust me, my life and dealing with food, and my son's going to have a complex, because literally anytime he says to me that he's hungry, I respond with, and I'm like, when the fuck do I feed you?
Yeah.
And I'll ask him that. I'm like, what do I feed you? And he's just like, I don't know.
No. Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, we've got to expand the palate.
Right.
Like,
right.
We can't live off of pretzels and applesauce and deli meat.
They'll eventually get hungry, is what my pediatrician said.
I mean, that's what they say.
Yeah. They'll get hungry enough that they'll eat
it. He saves it for like when he's at Waffle House and he has a massive waffle.
Yeah.
He'll eat that whole fucking thing.
I bet he would love my cooking, I have to tell you.
You think?
Yeah, because I got a really picky eater, Oliver. And I've
Wait,
got
what do
some
you feed
favorites.
Him?
I make a grilled cheese that no one even can
he
believe
won't eat
it.
Grilled cheese, like period.
Has he ever had mine though?
No, but I can assure you he wouldn't even try it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, pasta?
Yes, pasta like with Parmesan.
Okay. Yeah, we can do that. We can do that.
We literally have that about four nights a week.
Yeah.
That and the Totino's party pizza.
Oh, Totino's are the fucking best.
Ramen noodles.
Okay, yeah. It's a
chicken nuggets.
Crowd pleaser.
Occasionally we'll do tacos.
Yeah.
And he will eat avocado.
Okay.
Out of all the foods, he's down with avocado.
I don't know. So. Bottom line, don't bring them. If you're on the fence of whether to bring them, don't bring
them.
I'm
never bringing my kids to something unless I absolutely have to.
Yeah.
Because I want to I don't want that like looming on me. Like, because I'll start to have fun and then I'll be like, oh, wait, my kids are here. Like,
I need
to go check and make sure that
right,
I need to go be a mom for a moment.
Yeah.
So it doesn't allow me to like fully.
No,
relax.
Hers is more like she legitimately thinks that the people we're meeting with want to see them. Like, they haven't seen them in a while and they want to see them. And so I have to be like, babe, I'm so sorry to be the one to tell you again. nobody
pictures
wants
will
to
suffice.
See. Exactly.
Pictures are probably better in some way.
Exactly.
That way they don't have to ask them any questions, and then the kids, well, yours are older, so they'll respond.
Well, now we're doing it with the new dog where she'll go in and, like, we were taking the dog to the vet today and she knew somebody that worked next door to the vet. Mm-hmm. And she literally goes in there and is like, I have to show her the dog. I have to show her the dog. She's like pulling her out of work. I'm like, babe, does she really want to see the dog?
I probably wouldn't care about the dog.
I know, right? I mean, come on.
It's like, if I've seen one big dog, I've seen them all.
Thank you.
I care about the little baby lap dogs. Yeah. I want to see those. Well, but even then, sometimes I'm like,
But do you care about someone else's dog? I don't know.
No. Like,
I don't.
Honestly, the two dogs that I've owned in my life were both kind of given to me out of, like, necessity.
Okay.
And I was literally, like, at first, I'm like, this dog, get out of here. And they, like, just grew on me.
Yeah, yeah.
And the second dog was not very cute. It's a Shih Tzu.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Shih Tzus are not attractive.
No, they're not.
But then after 6 months, I'm like, this is the cutest dog ever.
Do you want to see my dog?
I love an underbite.
Do you want to see my dog?
Snaggly teeth.
Exactly. Yeah. So with the kid thing, I think it's like every case is going to be different. But I do think if I could go back in time, like, I wish, especially with my Catalyst, like, my kids didn't need to be part of that relationship at all. Mm-hmm. I knew in my heart I was never marrying this person. And I just don't think that that relationship I knew was serving a period of time. And I just probably should have left it at that or had her be around for friendship type things, but
yeah, but that was so hard to do at that time.
It was hard to do. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I'm just saying hindsight being 2020. Yeah.
Because your son got close to her.
He got close to her, but also because that's how I met her.
Oh, that's right.
So
that's
it's like, to me, that was an interesting, I didn't really have a choice in how we met. And then he was, you know, he got to know her on a project. So then he was like really around her. It was a complicated situation, but I could have taken control. I chose not to.
Yeah.
And
it's such a hard, because like we're saying, it's like you're in that moment and you're excited.
But the second relationship after her, I didn't have them around her at all. One time by accident, we ran into her at Piedmont Park and I had no choice.
But that's like an easy thing.
Yeah, like, it was no big deal. I was just like, oh my God, this is my friend. Yeah, it was no big deal.
I think if I had to do it differently, I probably, in knowing what I know now.
Yeah.
I probably would have avoided, like, doing trips together.
Yeah, for sure.
That kind of thing. I think that's what more so solidifies a bond.
Yeah, it does.
And I kind of wish I had thought more about that.
Yeah. Hindsight's 2020.
Yeah.
So I think you let yourself off the hook and you move on. You know, you give them the tools to deal with it and say, you know, what you said. These are seasons.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a revolving door. It's seasons. And when they're older, you can explain, too, that, like, kind of what Dr. Jamie says is, like, people come to show you things about yourself.
Absolutely.
And so it's kind of like, hey, guys, yeah, mom was, I met her because I needed to learn these lessons and grow. Mm-hmm. And here I am now. So I don't know that that's such a bad thing. I think there's opportunities for learning in that.
And I'm grateful for that relationship that I had. That was during a time, you know, during the pandemic when it was either being alone was such a strong possibility because everybody was so isolated.
Yeah.
And had I not met her at that time, I would have been alone too.
Right.
And she would have been alone. So we served that purpose for each other.
Yeah.
Even though it was like hard lessons learned in that process.
Right.
I'm glad that that happened and I'm glad that I had someone.
Yeah. I think about my people along the way. They all definitely served the seasonal purpose.
Yeah.
That they needed to. I needed both of those relationships before the one I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gotten to a stage now where I'm very happy in my relationship. I don't foresee anything coming or going, but I used to be so terrified of the loss or like, I need this. I was abandoned and I can't have you leave me and insecure in many ways. But I've gotten to a place that I don't feel that way anymore. I want her. I hope it works out and I'm rooting for us. And we still have stuff that comes up all the time. And I say to her, like, I don't want this to just be a teaching season of my life where I grew and move on, but I'm not scared anymore. Yeah. Of, like, that being the outcome.
I'm not afraid anymore.
I'm not afraid anymore.
It's like in Home Alone when he runs outside.
Exactly. That's how I feel. I'm not afraid anymore. I'm like, I choose it. I want it, but I'm not going to freak out. I'm going to be okay.
That's amazing that you say that, because literally I had that conversation with my therapist, like, cause you know, that fear of like, you found someone, you feel really good and solid in that relationship. And then there's that fear of like, but what if this doesn't work out?
Totally.
And I've talked to her about that. And she's like, the thing is, there's a chance that it could not work out.
Yeah.
But you are prepared, and now you have the tools to handle it.
Exactly.
In a way that you didn't have 5 years ago.
Right.
And that probably would have broken me 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Much like the divorce and the catalyst relationship was putting me at my breaking point.
And think about all the emails we get from people that are in absolute despair, heartbreak over losing people. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you just, I can't say it enough. Like, go inside yourself, get excited about the new hole that's opened up, because yes, it feels empty right now and you're alone and you feel abandoned and you're scared. You're always going to be alone and you lost what you think is the best thing that could have ever happened to you. But I promise you, like, if you get to the place of feeling so good inside on your own, you realize that there's room now for something else to come along. It may not be dating. It might just be something else in your life. Or maybe I feel like if you're open to meeting someone and that's your goal, which it doesn't have to be everybody's goal. Many people just want to be single and work and have their children. Totally fine too. Mm-hmm. Relationships don't define happiness. They just, you know, you might want a companion, you might not. But my point is, if you do want one, I truly believe anyone can have it.
Yeah.
I think when you get yourself healthy and you open up your heart to it, it shows up. So I just don't think people need to be scared.
And it's interesting how quickly things can change.
Yeah.
I have my little TikTok account, right? And I have like, and on it, you can do like drafts, like videos that you don't post. You record them, you don't post it. And I was like messing around with one of these like filters and it was like, predict your love life.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
This was a year ago, September 8th of 2021. I did this. And it literally says, prepare to meet your soulmate. a month to the day later is when I was meeting Marina.
Oh, wow. That's so and wild.
It's like I had saved it, not even like really thinking about it.
Yeah.
And I was like going through my drafts a few months ago, and I was like, how freaking bizarre.
Yeah, right?
You know? And so it's like things can change just so quickly.
In one day.
Yeah.
And I think too, like, you were doing the work. Like, that's one thing I can say about you. Like, you were doing the work. You were going to therapy. You were reading the books. You were listening to the audibles. Mm-hmm. You were doing the work.
Yeah.
And so it's like, of course, I mean, it was going to happen for you.
Mm-hmm.
I truly, 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 truly believe that. Like, I just know in my heart that that's what it is. And I don't think, like I said, don't misunderstand, but I think people do come in your life for a season to teach you something, to learn something. And while you hope that it's forever, you don't need to be scared if it isn't.
Because now you have the tools.
You've got
the tools. Or at least you're getting the tools.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I still have moments of severe weakness and insecurity. For sure. Like, there are times even Marie and I do the thing where it's like the mood shift. If there's a mood shift in the room where I sense kind of the PTSD of like, this is all going to blow up. And I still have those feelings this many years in sometimes, but for the most part, I feel like I'm so much healthier now.
But we're also learning still.
Yeah.
I feel like during that time of like coming out, I was learning so much. It was just like one thing after another, after another. Like
growth,
all these
growth,
like,
growth.
You know, light bulbs going off in my head, like
left
and right. And like that, and it's died down.
Right.
You know, that doesn't happen like every day now, but still things do come up where it's just like, oh yeah, like that's how I should look at that.
Totally.
And to relate back to that relationship ending, and like no longer having communication with that person.
Yeah.
It took me a few months to be like, wait, like this is how they have to heal.
Yeah.
And to not have me around is their healing.
Totally.
And that's fine.
Totally fine.
Like, that's fine.
Yeah.
And like that's been like a big lesson for me.
Right.
Like not everybody heals in the same way.
No.
So.
And just, knowing what your own journey is. Like I find I'm getting healthier like in things. Like I don't react the same way that I used to react.
Mm-hmm.
As I'm getting healthier myself. And I just, that's a beautiful thing. And it does equip you, you know, and again, I'm not always this way, but in a, we had a fight the other day where I literally, I didn't like explode. And I said, I know you're waiting for me to like lose it right now. And,
TikTok.
Yeah. Right. And she was like, yeah, I think in some ways it scares her a little bit of like, you don't even, do you care anymore? Mm-hmm. Like, are you? And I'm like, no, I totally do. But I'm just in a place now. I'm not the same woman of 3-4 years ago that was crying or scared or controlling the situation because I'm terrified, because I'm health, I'm okay.
Yeah.
Like I want you, but I don't, I'm not gonna, we're going to be together, I hope, but I don't have to have this to live.
Right.
And it's, I think it's so much healthier now.
And you can meter your reaction now.
Yeah. I can meter my reaction now. I don't feel like I have to keep an eye on every single thing. Mm-hmm. Because it's just, it feels healthier for me. And it's different for us. Like we're growing and changing. And I think our relationship's changing all the time. I'm changing. She's changing. So as Jamie would say, and I had this conversation with Jamie off the record, like as just a friend. And she kind of was like, we're all always evolving. Like even in her own relationship, she's like, it's morphing. And it's, you know, you hope you can grow together and like, stay together through the years, but if one person's keeping the other person from their own growth and journey, then it's eventually that's probably not where you belong.
And I think that's a big part too, is accepting that, that sometimes things, you know, you're no longer part of that person's journey.
Yeah. Yeah. That's hard.
And you may still want to be on
totally,
that journey.
Yeah.
But that's just not the case.
Right. Yeah. Like, I think if to tomorrow I found out that I'm not on Maria's journey, like she said to me, I want to go another way. Like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to hurt you. I would be devastated for a minute because the dream of what I thought was happening was dead.
I'd have to crawl in a hole for a few months.
Yeah. But yes. But I think before I would have been like, I'm so screwed. Why did I leave my marriage? This is horrible. That's how, where I would have gone. Mm-hmm. Now I would have gone with, God, this is heartbreaking and terrible, but I'm going to heal and open up my heart. And I think that's not the same Allison of 4 years ago, five years ago. So anyway, I think anyone going through heartbreak, because I do feel like that is a common thread in our emails.
Oh, absolutely.
It's the heartbreak of losing people, you know?
Yeah. And the fact is, you're going to lose people.
You're going to lose a lot of people. You don't come out of a marriage, get in a relationship, and end up together forever. Yeah.
My friend group looks entirely different today than it did 5 years ago.
Yeah, and I'm happier now.
Yeah.
So it's like there's, I don't know, like if you open yourself up, you're opening up channels for happiness. Mm-hmm. I think you get to design it however you want. Let the people in that bring you joy. And if that's only one person right now, like take time to build it in a way. I would rather spend my evening with someone I really enjoy than I'd rather be alone if it's not someone I really enjoy. Mm-hmm. So I just, I don't know. Like I sometimes read these emails and I'm like, God, we were there.
For sure.
And it's like, I feel their pain, but I just want to tell them to go home, read a really good self-help book. Yeah. Like, go out to dinner with friends, but don't text that
person. Go out to dinner with yourself.
Go out to dinner with yourself. Yeah.
Like, I did that a lot.
Yeah. You were better at that always.
But you know what's funny is I couldn't do that before. I would have never done that in a million years.
Interesting.
And then there was just something in me that was just like, fuck it. I don't care.
An interesting, like, case study of, like, my own life is this past week I had 2 back-to-school nights. One for my youngest, one for Owen, who's 16. The one, and they were in the same week. So like hormonally, I'm likely my same mood, my same everything. In my youngest group, like I didn't feel as good. Like I didn't, I found like when we went around and introduced ourselves, I felt a little shy. I was kind of, and my ex-husband was there, you know, we're friends. He's sitting next to me, but I felt like this sense of like, I can't fully be myself. I'm uncomfortable. Hi, it's Allie Vaccaro. I have 3 kids here. You know, the whole song and dance. But then when I was in Owen's group with those parents, I felt really, really good. And I was like the best version of Allie I can be. Talking to people, introducing myself to the person next to me. And it was just such a like case study in, God, your life can look drastically different.
Day by day.
When you're surrounded, though, with people that you feel good around.
What was the difference in the friends?
The only thing I can think of, I mean, if I'm really being honest, the only thing I can think of is the parents in that other group have younger kids, so they're younger parents. These are a lot of firstborns.
Okay.
And more, I don't know, I just didn't feel as confident in that group of people. I was fine, but it wasn't like I was shining in the other group. And it made me just realize that, like, God, if I had to spend my whole life, this was my friend group, I would likely struggle immensely versus, like, I don't know, when you put your people are awesome or you feel good in that group, your life looks different because you thrive.
When you feel open to being yourself.
Yeah. True. You can have great conversations. The conversations get better. You know, I left that night, like, I could have stayed another hour at parent night where I was itching to get out. I know. I was itching to get out of the other one.
Like, I don't want to go to any of that stuff.
I know. I know.
At all.
Right.
My son really wants me to go to this parents and pastries thing next week.
Oh, God.
You don't even eat pastries.
I know. I don't want to eat the pastries either.
Well, yeah, I don't eat pastries. He was literally like, what is a pastry?
Yeah. Yeah. I know. It's like, but you just, I don't know, like a few of these things you got to do.
For sure.
Well, this is probably a good one to end on.
I think so.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Want to support the Lesbian Chronicles podcast? Rate us and write a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify.
We love listener feedback. If you'd like to share your story, email us at melissaandallie@gmail.com. That's Melissa, M-E-L-I-S-A, and Allie, A-L-L-I, @gmail.com. Or follow us on Instagram at Lesbian Chronicles.